How many are glad he took his hands from the cross and reached down and grabbed us. We're so glad he did that. We're going to pray this morning, and we're going to pray for a number of people who need prayer, but especially I understand that Doris Gilmer's mother is in the hospital. They've taken her in, and they think it's probably a couple days. They don't know for sure, but let's pray that God's peace will be there, of course, and his pleasure. That's the most important thing. I need lubrication. So will you bow your heads? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Love lifted us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, it is your love that brought you to the cross, and it is your love that brought the cross to us. And I thank you so much for that great gift that you have given each one of us. We pray this morning, Lord, for Doris's mother. And we know, Lord, that you are a very present help in the day of trouble. And we pray that your presence would be very strong, particularly for those that are there that do not know you. Lord God, that you would just hover over, Lord God, and that your will would be done in Doris's mother's life. And that, Lord, this family would be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Father God, every moment can be the moment. You alone know the moment. But I pray, Lord, that you would exalt your name in every moment of every life, from the hospital personnel, Lord, to every family member. We thank you for that today. And we do pray for those of our ranks, Lord, that are ill, that are fighting something, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord Jesus, for Wendy, for Dory, for Carolyn this morning, for Marcella, Lord, for so many others, Lord, for those that are here that are just not up to par. We thank you, Lord, that you are, and I pray you'd raise us to where you are, Lord Jesus, by your presence, by your healing virtue, and by your extraordinary grace. We thank you so much that you're everything we're not, And we look to you, Lord, to be glorified in this service. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beside the announcements that are in the bulletin, on November 6th, there's going to be a work day. So if you're just looking for something to do, Jan can point you in the direction. And that'll be a day to do, I guess, a half a day or however long it takes to come in to honor the house of God. So we ask you to think about that. And then there's still a sign-up sheet for the talent night. If you have something that you'd like to share, if you have a song or a writing or whatever it is, or if you have crafts or things that you've made that you'd like to share, so we can see what kind of talent is out here in the seats, that would be very wonderful. And then we'll have desserts and a little fellowship afterwards. So if you have talent in cooking, then you make something that is wonderful and delectable. And we'll look forward to that. Now, in the meantime, is it good to be seen? Yes. So see each other and say hello. Amen. He speaks to me everywhere. That's some of the words of that song. I wanted to point out something so I don't forget here in the back of the bulletin. The mission statement of the church is flows. And it was fellowship, learning, outreach, worship, and service. And we changed one word, the first word, and it was the word to faith. Fellowship, of course, is involved in everything, but faith is the bedrock of Christian life and service. And no more is that evident than when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life and you make a decision for him. And so it is a great pleasure to ask Isabel to come up and share what the Lord has done in her life.
Hi, guys. I'm Isabel, and I sit back there, and I do the slideshow. And this is my testimony. I have accepted Jesus into my heart, and all it took was, it was a communion Sunday, and I told Jan a long time ago that I wouldn't take communion unless, like, I was a Christian. And all I did was, she saw me take like the little wafer or something, and she's like, "You're a Christian." And after that, like people gave me hugs and handshakes and congratulations, and were really great. They gave me gifts and stuff, and it was really cool, and that's my testimony.
She knew one thing instinctively, that you cannot have communion with God unless you have communion with God, unless you have a relationship. And I respect very highly your decision that until you knew for sure and that you had made that decision. And I believe God will honor not only every communion that you experience, but your Christian life. We love you, and we're so grateful that you made the choice for Christ, because he made it for you. Now please stand as we sing this fabulous hymn, The Love of God, which I chose for today because darling loves.
Moment. Father, we do thank you.
Lord, I think of the scripture where it talks about the lepers and how that you healed them, and only one stopped to say thank you. Lord, you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to create us in the first place. You didn't have to redeem us. You didn't have to plan so far ahead for the lives that you knew would be in shambles. You did not have to do that. That was your choice out of the love that you have. And we are grateful, and we do not take it lightly. Lord, not at all. And the moment that we do, remind us of the great love that you have given us and have captured us for eternity. Lord, we cannot say enough of what salvation means, of what the new life you have given us means. Give us a peek, Lord, into the wonder of your presence and the treasure chest, Lord, of your glory, of those things, Lord, that you have prepared for those who love you. Lord Jesus, now I pray that you would take your word and you would put it as salve to our soul and a light to our eyes and a bounce to our step. Lord, for the glory of the majesty of God Almighty. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The scripture today, we're back in Corinthians. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I even scheduled it. Pardon me.
You're pardoned.
Thank you. It's a good place to be pardoned. This would be Patrick and Marty.
Glory to God in the highest.
it's my turn. Thank you. Tell me the story of Jesus. Can you think of a better story? Nope. And aren't you glad when he allows his story to become part of your story? I know I am. So we're in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And a couple weeks ago, I asked a lovely lady. She's going, "Who's that?" to memorize this scripture. You know, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I not sin against thee." It's important to tuck the word of God in our heart as a treasure. So I have asked Isabel to memorize this verse, and she's going to quote it for us.
That's not an NIV version, but mine says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come."
Amen. Many years ago, well, 39 to be exact, this is the perpetual age of the late Jack Benny. Remember, he always said he was 39? 39 years ago, I had the best birthday because I met Jesus Christ. Now, it's been a long time. It's 300 years ago to me. It's two lifetimes ago. It's forever ago. But I still remember when I made a confession and I committed my life to Christ. And then I realized he was real. I was shocked. I was. I went, "Oh my gosh." I had learned about him in Sunday school. I had known of him. I had reverence for him. I did. But I didn't really believe or know that he wanted a relationship with me. That was the surprise. And God was faithful to meet me that day. So this day, October 17th, is my favorite day of the year. It is. It always has been. And I celebrate it every year because I never want that relationship and that birthday to be twiddled off into my history, because it is everything about the future. So, my favorite day, great day to be in church. 39 years. Many years ago, this was prior to my dad passing away, which is 20 years ago, we were going to buy him presents for his birthday, which is tax day. And he said, "Oh, don't buy me anything big. Don't buy me anything," basically, is what he was saying. He said, don't waste your money. But his words were, don't spend a lot of money on me. Okay, so that told me I can spend a little bit of money on you. And so I said, okay, I won't buy anything big. So I bought him a lot of little things. I did. I bought him all kinds of little things that I knew he would use. I only had two things I would not buy for him that I knew he used, and he used them all the time. That was cigarettes and alcohol. I refused to go buy him either of those two. But I bought him other stuff. And I said, "Dad, I didn't get you a big gift. Got you a lot of small ones." And I thought about that as I was looking at this wonderful verse. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," and by the way, that word "man" is generic. It means men and women. "Be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new." I wanted to talk about the little gifts in this birthday party. You know, we tend to gloss over little words. We tend to gloss over little things because we don't think they're important. They're massively important. Massively important in this fabulous verse. So, in 2 Corinthians, which is the follow-up to the first book that Paul wrote, It was written when Paul was in Philippi, and it was written as a follow-up to the church after they repented of some of the things he was talking about in the first book. And he came back to teach them, and he came back to follow up. Because you wouldn't think Paul would have, because he was kind of one of those choleric type of personalities. Push through, put new ground in, and leave the rest for someone else. But he wasn't like that. He followed up on the churches and on the people. And so I'm going to talk about the little words in here that really make a difference. First of all, when you have a birthday party or any kind of party, how many plan a party? How many just show up? You don't show up, you plan it first, right? A lot of detail. In fact, they'd say that the smoother something looks, the more detail that went into it. The smoother it looks. When you look at the Word of God and its consistency and its power, you know one thing. God did a lot of work here. He spent a lot of time to put this together for us. And so, in this fabulous verse, in the 17th verse, in my translation, the New American Standard, as here, it says, therefore. Now, what did we say about the word therefore? Always check and see what the therefore is there for. It's connecting something to the previous statement. It is the preparation of this party. And that is prior to the 17th verse. And I'm going to read a little bit of it. He says, talking about Jesus, in the 14th verse, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. The party can only come forward because Jesus paid the bill, he paid the sacrifice, he did it for all of us. That's the only reason we can be at a party. And he took care of all the details. He left nothing to anyone else. And in the Greek, this is talking about, therefore, it's the Hebrew word, or the Greek word, hasta. And in that little word is the word host. He's the host of the party. Okay? He invited you. Now, I know a lot of people don't do this, but when I have parties, I like to send out invitations. You know, my family every year, are you coming? Are you going to invite me? Well, of course. You don't need an invitation, but I like to send them just because I think they're cute. And I like to spend money. No, I like invitations. But it's a follow-up. This is a follow-up for the previous portion where he's talking about that he basically died because we were dead. That's what he did. So we could come to this great party. And his love did it for us. I thought it was interesting thinking about this, that when Jesus came to this earth, and we talk a lot about, and we will as we get to Christmas, he came in the flesh, right? He had to come in flesh. Why? Because he had to be human. He had to be a sacrifice. He also had to be the kinsman redeemer so he could buy us back. But he also had to come and he had to die because we were dead. Okay? That's why he had to die. Because we were born dead. You ever know anyone that gave birth to a stillborn? It's heartbreaking. We were born dead. We were not born with a propensity to love God. We were born with one, a bent to sin. And the Lord took that very seriously. So he planned a party. Way in advance. I mean, so far advance. And aren't you glad you were on the invitation list? I know I am. So we get to this verse, the 17th. Fabulous scripture. Therefore, if, here's one of the little gifts. The word if, which I've talked about, the if-then quality, is that unless this is happening, this ain't happening. Okay? If you be in Christ, then this happens. There's an if-then quality here. There's not any condition on salvation, but there is upon our application. If we don't choose it, it isn't happening for us. Okay? That has to be absolutely understood. So it says, if anyone, and that means simply what it says, any person who wants it. I've told you about the time I was in a restaurant, an elderly lady, she came over to me afterwards, and she was just delightful, and she says, I didn't mean to stare at you. She said, but you look like somebody. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, I am somebody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. We're also a whosoever. Whoever believes will be saved, right? He said, if any. He has no restrictions here. Contrary to what some church denominations believe, that they're the only one going to go to heaven, I think heaven would be very small then, don't you? If any is a new creature, that word is, circle it, keep it, stick it in your soul. It means to exist as. Anyone is a new creature. This is a little word that means a lot. Because it's a state of being, not a state of doing. How many people, if you were to be asked the question, which I was actually asked before I became a Christian, the question from the pulpit was one of the questions of the James Kennedy Evangelism Explosion Program, and it said, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And if you stood before the Lord, what would you say? And I could just hear the laundry list of everything I might want to say. But I knew instinctively that, I don't know, I guess I'd go to heaven because at that time I was a Lutheran. That's the only answer I had. It wasn't sufficient. Luther did not die for me. And he knew that. Jesus did. Big difference. So, if any of you is a new creature, old things are passed away. I love God's word because it gives us, it doesn't just tell us what we aren't, it tells us what we are. And that's a sadness in so many belief systems in this world, is they tell you don't be this, but they don't follow it up with anything. Right? They don't fill that void. And if you don't fill the void, what's going to happen? You're going to inch back to the old. You will, because you have nothing to fill it with. God gives us new, something beyond that. And I love that. It says, so if any man be in, here's another important word, in means not out. It means to be in a relationship with, is what the word means in this context. Now, if you were to be out, you would probably be trying to get in by religion, by your works, things like that. But when you're in because Jesus tucked you in by his blood. He literally brought you there because of your relationship with him. Not by anything that we have done, not by works of righteousness. And he says, if any be in, of course, Christ, have to be in him. In him we live and move and have our being. It's a little word, but it's imperative. And let me also remind you of this. You're in Christ. Is he in you? How many of you have ever met married people where only one of them's married? Only one made the commitment. The other one is still deciding. If I don't have something better to do, maybe we'll commit sometime. You both have to be committed, right? That's what marriage is supposed to be. I've heard it on good authority. He should be in us. We should be in him. There should be a mutual devotion. And that should be growing. Your love relationship to your spouse should be stronger today than it was the day you said, I do. It should be. I hope it is. I can see it in a lot of you, and I'm grateful to see it. I think it should be. So when we have a party, someone has to prepare it. Then we start enjoying the party. Now the gifts are coming out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Look at that little word, new. How many of you like getting old gifts? When I was a kid, my brother, and I'm sure that's all he had or all he decided to do, he gave me an old Etch-a-Sketch. Old Etch-a-Sketch. You might as well have given me a saw. What am I going to do with this? I mean, it worked. There was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't broken or anything. But I can guarantee you it wasn't my idea of a present. I didn't tell him that, so don't tell him. We want something new. And the Greek word here, kaini, means new and fresh. Do you know that God's mercies are new every day? They are to be new and fresh. Just like when you've done your laundry and you can, it's fresh. It just has a great aroma, doesn't it? There's a lot of people that are living on the blessings of 50 years ago. And I believe God has new ones today. He wants something new in your life, new in my life that is at his hand. So he says, if anybody is in Christ, the new has begun. I'm so glad that he is a great God with new things. I really am. And he says, you're a new creature. And I'll throw in the word creature because I would like you to see the word in there, which is create. God is still creating in us. Do you know that? We're a new creature. A new creation of his hand. And the old goes away. When I was thinking about the newness, I was thinking about the concentration camps of World War II. You remember those in the old newsreels? The horrible things they went through. The fact that the grounds, particularly in some of the locations, and I know my sister went to the one because she worked and lived in Germany, you can still smell it. Because you cannot remove the stench of what happened there. But when they were liberated, one of the things that was done, at least in some of the camps, they gave them new clothes. Something new and fresh. Which I thought was fabulous that they did that. I mean, they would have been grateful just to have new clothes that didn't have lice on them. They would have been glad just to have something that didn't look like it was in a barracks and you were being numbered for death. They would have been glad to have anything. But they were given new clothes. And I think our posture as believers ought to be, Lord, we don't deserve nothing. But you gave us your best. You gave us your finest. God doesn't give junk. He does not. He gives new. All things to behold. And he said, because old things have passed away. The word old is an interesting word, archaos. It means ancient and old. It's also the word we get archives from. Archives. You ever went to read some of the archives of history of the city or of your family? Those are long lists in archives, aren't they? There's a lot of information in it. Some of it's interesting and some of it's not. But nonetheless, it's important for history. In the archives of our lives, we have a long list of the past, don't we? Don't we? Guess what? God got rid of it. It's not there anymore. And I don't care how many times the devil brings it up to you, and I don't care how many times your own memories bring it up, it's still not there. Because when Jesus died for sin, he removed it. He blotted it out. Just because your memory brings it up doesn't mean it's really there. It's there in your mind, but it's not there at the throne of God. Kind of reminds me of Maria was telling me that she and her lovely folks went to see the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I saw a number of years ago. And they had these boxes, ossuaries, and they had, and what's in them is the boxes of the bones of the dead after the flesh has decayed. You know, if you could see the box that had your name on it and see what's left of you from your old past, it'd be empty. Because the Holy Spirit blew on it and all the dust went away. Never listen to the enemy. Do not listen to your shame or your guilt. Listen to the Word of God. The archives, the antiquities are gone. They are not there. It reminds me of Geraldo Rivera when he had this whole big thing on his show many, many years ago. They were going to bust this wall to see what was behind it that Al Capone had and made a big deal about it, and the media was all over it, of course. And I don't know if they were expecting to find a body back there. I'm sure that was what his interest was. But I think they found one bottle of what was some kind of distillery. They found nothing back there of any substantial worth. If you took a peek into your soul, the soul that's been redeemed, you'd find there's nothing back there because he wiped it out. Just depends on what you're looking in. Okay? Amen. Imperative. I want you to be happy about that because the enemy will spend the rest of your life reminding you of everything you've done. I would like you to turn around and tell him what Jesus did. And he'll quit telling you because he don't want to hear what Jesus did. The old things, that archive has been cleaned out. And it has passed away. This is the same wording, by the way, for passed away that's in the book of Revelation when it says the old earth and heaven will be passed away. It means a change of situation, a change of condition, passes from one condition to the next. When we gave our life to Christ and the Lord came into our being, did we die? No, we came to life. And we changed from one condition, which was lost, and we changed into the condition of the saved, of the restored, of the redeemed. And that's what this means. The old has passed away. I also like to think of it as death. Because, you know, something that's dead doesn't talk back to you. Unless you're watching bad movies. Doesn't talk back to you. It has no power to hurt you anymore. None. They only exist in here. And by the way, that's why we need to get the word in our mind. We need to make sure we renew our mind because that's where the battleground is. If you spend your life, not that you want to, but your life is kind of governed by the dead of yesterday, by the mistakes of life's past, I was reading this week. The captain of a Qatar Airways flight from the Philippines died as it was in the air on Wednesday. Would you like to be a passenger on that flight? Do you think they announced it over the, ladies and gentlemen, hang on to your hat? Because the pilot took a very long nap. I don't think so. I don't think we want to be on that flight. Of course, they have other means to protect the passengers, and I'm sure they did that. But when we let the old govern our life, that's what we're doing. We're flying with a dead pilot. And I can guarantee you where that's going to head if you let that be in the control of your life. We need to let Jesus be in the control tower. Number one, he's been there, so he already knows the plan. He's not going into uncharted waters. He knows exactly where we're supposed to go because he's the direction we're going in. Therefore, because of the fact that Jesus died for us, because of the fact that he gave his life for us and he reconciled us to the Father, if any is in Christ, has an abiding, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that's old is new. And everything that was old is gone. And if you open up that box of the old and everything you've been worried about or everything that you think God's going to hold you accountable for, you're wasting a lot of time because it's not in there anymore. Jesus took care of it for you and for me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he did that?
Amen.
Telling you, if you could look in that book and see what he's done for your soul, change it, revolutionize your whole life. I know what he's done for my soul. I know I didn't deserve it. I didn't even try to find it. I only went to the meeting I went to because, frankly, I thought I was going to hear a good story. He was a drug addict and God delivered him, and I thought that would be interesting. When I heard church music, I about fell over. I went, oh, no. Of course, I love the music, so that helped. Are you in Christ? Is he in you? The hope of glory. That is where we need to be. And he takes care of the condition of what's in your life. His mercies are new every day. Do you need his mercy today? Do you need to know that that box is clear? God has restored you because of his son. I pray that you know that. Please bow your heads. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to tell you a true story. You remember President Nixon and Watergate and everything that happened and all the shame and the total devastation of his soul as he had to resign the office for which he sought for most of his adult life. And in shame and reproach, he had to stand down from being the commander-in-chief. And some few years later, Hubert Humphrey, who was, of course, the senator from our state and the vice president under Johnson, was dying from cancer. And he had sent word to President Nixon, when it's my time to go and they have a public funeral for me, I would like you to attend. Because he wanted Mr. Nixon to know that he could stand up in public, even after all that shame, and be recognized again. And that's what Jesus did for us. He went to the cross and he died for us. And he said, listen, you're going to be able to stand up without any shame, without any reproach. Not because you were great, not because you were perfect, but because I was. And I want you to be free from the guilt that you have felt. And I feel it so strongly that in my death, I would like to bring you new life. And that's what our Savior did. And if you're here today and you'd say, you know, I feel like that box has been calling the shots in my life. And every time I want to go forward, the devil reminds me of what I was or what I thought I was or something like that. And I really want to see that box empty, and I want to know that the old is done, it's dead, it's just gone. He's brought new and fresh alive to my life. And I'm going to concentrate on that, and I'm going to grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to rid myself of that dirt and of that dust and of the death. And I don't want death to control my life. I want life to control it, and that is Jesus Christ. And you'd say today, I really need prayer in this area. You raise your hand so I can pray for you. If you have areas of your life where the deadness seems to take over, or the archives of your soul remind you of what you were, you need to concentrate on who Jesus is. And you'd say, pray for me. I don't want to miss you if you're here. The Lord wants to release you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today that in your word is everlasting life. It is food. It is everything you have brought to the party. You prepared the party. You invited us. And then you brought out the gifts. The gift of eternal life. The gift of your Son. The gift of your Holy Spirit. The gift of the church. The gift of ministry. The gifts of life and service. Lord, you've done so much for us, and we deserve nothing, but we're so glad that in your love you extended it to us. Thank you for inviting us to the party. Thank you, Lord, for unwrapping your glory through all of these years. And you're more glorious today than you were to me in 1971. Lord God, because every day I'm in a relationship with somebody who absolutely gave himself totally, how can I not respond to such grace? And I pray for those that raise their hands that you would touch them today. Lord, expose those empty boxes for what they are. They have nothing. They just torture us. We need to go to the fullness of the Word of God and find our victory, what God has prepared for those who love him. And I ask you to touch each one today that needs your specific ministry. Lord God, we thank you that you died so we could stand in public and go beyond the shame because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for new life and for new purpose in life. Bless each, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the final song. Sing it like you mean it. It's a great hymn. Was free. Ask Kristen if she would. You should have seen her face when I said that. How many love Kristen? She should. Hopefully, she still loves me. Would you like to come up and pray?
Sure.
How could you say no?
She could.
Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us all together so that we could worship you. Please be with those who could not be with us today. We lift their needs to you. And I ask blessings on each one of those who are here and cannot be with us today, that they may, through you, grow deeper in glory. In your holy name I pray. Amen.